The views, opinions, and comments expressed by hosts, guests, and callers of this show are not necessarily those of this station, its parent company, TeleSouth Media, its staff, management, or advertisers. Content of this broadcast cannot be duplicated or used in any way without the express written consent of TeleSouth Media Incorporated.
Welcome to Hope, the program that offers hope to the struggling, hope for the depressed, and hope for the oppressed. Now here are your hosts, Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps,
and Kirby Nixon.
Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our show. I'm Tommy Wilson. I'm downtown here at the Super Talk Radio Station on a beautiful Thursday morning. We're right here in the heart of Corinth downtown with Dr. Phil. And to my left, I've got nobody. And to my right, I've got Bobby Capps, who's director of Crosswind Ministries, our biblical counselor, our personal counselor. He probably is my pet counselor and everything else. But, and in between us today, we got Taylor Johnson, who is my niece. I guess I could call you Taylor Wilson Johnson. And because I have to battle just to keep calling Taylor Wilson.
You're not the only one, so that's okay.
So Taylor's here with us today, and I'm excited. It's a huge day in our country. It's 9/11. It's always about memory, and I was thinking on the way out here 24 years ago. Taylor, I was at Brosy Autoplex. Your dad had called me. I was at the subway working. He called and told me what was going on. Mm-hmm. I rushed down to the car lot, which was right next to us, and stood there and watched the news for a little while and things as our country was under attack at that day and stuff. So
I was in the sixth grade. I was in Miss Mills' first period class.
Mm. Mm-hmm. We, because I was out west and our time is different than y'all's, I was standing in my living room with my kids who were fixing to go to school.
Oh, wow.
We circled up and was watching the news together, and it was a scary day. Later that day, I'm sure as all of everyone remembers, somebody was finding somewhere to pray. Mm-hmm. We had just poured paved the parking lot on our new church building. Mm-hmm. We met there and it was a shaky day. I saw grown men whose big tough guys whose knees were really buckled that day.
Yeah.
And it was a moment that was really weird. We have in where I lived in Phoenix, was the airline crossover was close to us.
Oh, wow.
So Phoenix International Airport, you know, when they left going west, it would always come over us. Mm. And so to see the skies silent was very interesting. It was very noticeable. Also, Luke Air Force Base, who flew, I think, 50 sorties, which is two planes at a time, every day over us, headed to the south. Like everything was like eerily quiet,
yes.
And it was a weird day. I remember being very gripped by it. Very gripped by, you know, how people's response were, and very aware of something that I would come to learn later as I became more full-time counselor. Mm-hmm. I was a pastor at the time, and is that our heart response matters to God. How I respond to something matters to God. I look here many times where people will be in really bad trouble. Something really bad will happen to them. But what happens when bad things happen to them is their hearts get exposed too.
Yeah.
And then suddenly what happens out of their heart sometimes seems just as evil as what had happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, I'm always cautioned by the Lord Jesus about, and you know, in Proverbs, guard your heart, for from it wells comes a wellspring of life. Don't let someone else's hate make hate in you, or expose the hate that is in you, or if God exposes the hate, repent of it quickly and lay it down, and all of those type of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fast forwarded to this week, or we've had a tough time in our country this week. The young girl getting killed on the train, people sitting around not helping her. And then yesterday, Charlie Kirk shot down like a deer. I mean, you know, and that was been a tough few days.
Yeah. It has been tough.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to make of it. I mean, you know, I'm so having such a default to listen to my own heart response, and I can feel, you know, anger and this and that and the next thing, and the Lord always checks me. And this morning, the check that he gave me was out of Luke 13. There's a there's a place there where they kind of throw the headlines in front of Jesus of the newspaper and say, what do you think about this? Who's the bad guy? And Jesus said, neither of them, who's worse, this guy or that guy? And he said, neither of them's worse. And he said, and unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. In other words, Jesus said, you're trying to get me to comment on the headlines. What I'm trying to get you to see is, how did your heart respond?
Right.
You know, and so I think that is my caution that I wake up with, is that how does my heart respond to these things that happen that are evil in our land, and whether it be 9/11 or whether it be the events of the week or any other week in America where we see these school shootings and tragedies over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, you know, how does my heart respond, and where is my hope? My hope's in the gospel, and my hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do I think the solution is? I think the solution is that for people to know Christ. And so I that was the Lord's encouragement to me this morning.
Well, Bobby, I'm always wanted to be a politician ever since I was a kid. And I battle that in the midst, and my emotions get caught up, and maybe I say something about other folks and stuff that may hurt somebody I know, and that ain't right.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so that's a battle with me. It's a battle with our country is so divided right now, and you know.
Well, and Satan, our enemy, is, you know, used what I call, significant and meaningful, you know, differences of opinions and points of view and worldviews. To really, like, you know, cause us to hate each other.
Well,
and the hate was already there because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what the Lord says about them.
Certain people got heavy, big time places within the news media.
For sure.
That says
have way more exposure. Yeah.
Exposure that says something like Charlie deserved that, his hatred. You know, and that just stirs, it just divides us more. So, and I'm just saying we need to be praying. We need to pray for Charlie's family, that girl's family.
Our country, our hearts.
Our country, my heart.
My heart.
I'm responsible for my child.
That's right.
I'm responsible for my response and my reaction.
That's it.
I can't help it how other people respond.
Except you repent, Bobby, you will also perish.
Yeah.
And so... And if I can turn this a little bit more pleasant, today also is when the most famous of all our parades, which is the homecoming parade, happens in Corinth.
Okay.
And many parents have stayed up night after night after night getting all of their floats. My wife said, man, Corinth like treats his homecoming thing like the Rose Bowl parade.
Oh no, no other place.
No
other place.
Thankful and very fun. So you guys don't miss it. 5:30 downtown. Come downtown and elbow around and get yourself a spot to look at it it'll be fun.
Well, I can't be there at 5:30. We got Living Free tonight and got a big night. Taylor, Tyler, Lake, and hopefully Luke will be with us tonight, Living Free. We've got Taylor here today, and we want her to share about maybe growing up in an addiction home.
Yeah, for sure.
Seeing her dad struggle with it, seeing her dad things. At what age did it impact her? The impact she has that has on her now, that where she can help people. So
there's an entire... in our country, there is an entire support group system that is that focuses only on family members who had to grow up in addictive homes. And so I'm glad that Taylor's here to speak to that and to give hope to those of you who had to grow up in a home like Taylor's and see where she got her hope from.
Yeah. And, you know, and the impact it still has on her today.
Absolutely.
And she's kind of twisted that, turned that trauma that happened to her then into a positive thing now where she helps others.
Yeah, very
so,
good.
But we're going to get to Taylor. I'm excited to have Taylor. I wish we could have had Tyler and Lakin and Luke. Fortunately, all three of them has jobs.
Yeah, I have a job.
And Taylor doesn't have a job. Taylor's a non-working person.
Well, let's say that they have jobs that ain't quite as flexible as Taylor.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, Taylor does work in the school system here. She's a career coach. She's got a busy day. She's got a 11 o'clock appointment with Prentice County
Drug Free Community Coalition,
led by our own Brandon Meeks.
Brandon
Meeks come through our program years ago, and man, I'm excited about where he's at and what he's trying to do. So, well, listen, we're here every Thursday morning at 9. We're thankful for what we get to do, and we get to do it because of sponsors. And today's sponsors was Karn Mattress Furniture Alley. Look, right there on Highway 72, they've had a tent up in their parking lot for 2 months. It's going to come down Friday afternoon. So the tent sale is ending. The trailer is going to be moved out. Sales is low. Listen, fall's coming. Prices has already fell at the Karn Mattress store. So go and buy a mattress today. We got a couple of great deals on some hybrid mattresses, copper cool gel mattresses. So go by and see them. My friend Daniel Arthur at our Subways. Daniel's a friend. His family has had a major impact. But we have three Subways right here in Corinth. Two on 72, one on Shallow Road. Stop by and grab you a foot-long meatball, buy a dozen cookies. You can buy about 5 dozen cookies and drop them off at the Freedom Center if you want to. Them guys like it. Nick Bain, Nick's a friend. I was in court with Nick Tuesday. Nick is a friend to our ministries. Reach out to Nick for any of your legal needs. Wilco Real Estate Group, that's my wife, my daughter, and a great group of folks selling real estate. For any questions, buying, selling, or if you just got a question, reach out to my wife, my daughter, any of the rest of the crew. Crosswind Ministries, been here over 20 years helping people, and that's where Bobby resides. Bobby's been in the neighborhood 16, 17 years and stuff. So Angel Quinn, Truett Brown, they've got people there wanting to help. They've got a meeting on Sunday night at 6 that they call the gathering at 5. We get out at 6. Yeah, that's the reason I like it. It starts at 5, we get out at 6. You can get home and watch Sunday night baseball. Or now the game of the week of the NFL on Sunday night.
Baseball's better.
In my book it is. So, by the way, my Yankees is struggling. Detroit has made us look like fools. They did honor Charlie Kirk last night,
yes.
And President Trump's going to be in the house tonight. That's the only thing that's been good the last couple of days. Well, look, the dinner bell's taking fish. Melissa Carson and her crew, dinner plates, steaks, fish, you name it, they've got it. They do it right. Gatlin's Pharmacy, Bart and Dawn Dorn, there at in Tishomingo. Bart and Dawn is great folks. For any of you pharmacy needs in Tishomingo County, reach out to Gatlin's Pharmacy. Magnolia Funeral Home, Jim and Sheila Calvary, just first-class folks doing first-class things with all your burial needs, cemetery needs. I mean, they can get you took care of. Jeff Green's Barbershop, they're on Highway 72. Jeff cuts all of our guys' heads. So I'm grateful for Jeff, but he's open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. He is open on Saturday, 9 to 12. For all your haircut needs there, Jeff Green there on the highways. Just stop in and get a couple pieces of bubble gum like I do if you want to. But that's our radio sponsors. I want to give a big shout out to Rapid Restorations, Brady Pratt, Mary Grace, and them. They've been great to us and stuff. So, man, for any year. Needs water leaks, house flooded. They just fixed my house when my house shifted. Had to get up under it, lift, you know, jack it up and all that. Done a great job, so reach out to Brady and them for that. But look, we'll be right back with Taylor Johnson.
Wilco Real Estate Group is a full-service real estate agency located in downtown Corinth. Our agents service all of Northeast Mississippi and Southwest Tennessee, including the Pickwick Lake area. If you would like to talk real estate, please call or text us at 662-415-5922. You can also email us at info@wilcocorinth.com. You can also check out our website for some free content on the home buying or home selling process at wilcocorinth.com.
If you live in Tishomingo, Belmont, Iuka, Burnsville, and the surrounding area, Gatlin's Pharmacy, 18 First Avenue in Tishomingo, is your one stop for all your pharmacy needs. Gatlin's Pharmacy has programs available that will save you time and money. They offer a discount program that is unique to our area. Do you have a parent or loved one who needs help keeping up with their medicines? Gatlin's Pharmacy will do the work for you. They will package your prescriptions for date and time and deliver them to you. Give Gatlin's Pharmacy a call and find out why they are way more than just a pharmacy. Gatlin's Pharmacy, 662-438-6605.
Here's to choice, to making your voice be heard, to getting exactly what you want, especially when you eat. At Subway restaurants, you choose your freshly baked bread, meats, cheese, and veggies to make a sub that's just right for you. Come in and create yours today. Subway, eat fresh.
The Dinner Bell remains one of the top local dining establishments in Corinth, Mississippi, with numerous awards over the years as Best Salad Bar, Best Steakhouse, Best Overall Restaurant, Best Lunch and Dinner under $10 for the Crossroads area. Deli Plate Lunch and Dinner Special with details found on the Dinner Bell Steak and Fish Facebook page. For delicious food at affordable prices, you can now order online. Visit DinnerBellCorinth.com. Join the rewards program to earn points for free food and exclusive discounts. Order online, DinnerBellCorinth.com.
Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, are proud to be a part of this program. At Bain & Bowen, they know that going through a legal dispute can be a frustrating and scary process. They can help you with a wide range of legal issues, including criminal cases, divorce and family law issues, as well as personal injury cases. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, will pursue the best course of action and get you the outcome you deserve. For all your legal needs, call Bain & Bowen at 662-287-1620. That's 286-1620. Now back to Hope with Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Kirby Nixon.
Well, we welcome you back. We will enter into our second segment today, and I'm pumped about having my niece with me. She's my oldest niece.
Yeah.
She was the first grandbaby born into our family, and you was older than Bronson, wasn't you?
3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Barely, but yeah. All right.
So, look, Taylor, I'm proud you're with us, and I'm proud of you. And I invited you today and invited you and your brothers, sisters to share tonight about the journey. Your dad and me grew up in a home that my mom and dad split when we was about seven. And last year, Randy told me sometime the statement that, you know, one side of the family was pulling for me, wanting me to stay with them. One side was pulling for baby. And Randy thought, what the heck? Who am I at?
Yeah.
You know? So Randy grew up in that. Me and him lived with my dad, graduated high school together. Mm-hmm. Done a lot of silly and crazy things together. Older we got involved in some things that certainly I'm not proud of today. Mm-hmm. But Randy struggled with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Then along came Taylor. What year?
1990.
So you come along. Bronson had came along. Preston came into our family in 1994, mm-hmm. at the end of 94 and stuff. So Lakin was born.
Lakin was 93. And then Tyler was December of 94. Mom was pregnant with Tyler.
Yeah.
When Preston and Maria came in.
Yeah.
To our lives.
So we've walked this journey together, laughed a lot, mm-hmm. cried a whole lot, prayed together a mm-hmm. lot and stuff. So, but I'm just going to give you the mic. I don't know exactly where you want to start. I'm going to leave that up to you, but okay. I just wanted to ask what was it like growing up in a home where your dad struggled with addiction?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think I really knew what was going on until probably 99, probably the year we moved to Corinth is when stuff kind of started shifting. But we were very blessed to grow up in a home with both parents, loving home. I told someone the other day, you know, my dad was an addict, but there were years that we did not know that because he was there. He was at the house. He was at the ball games. He was very loving and encouraging. And if you knew my dad, he was also very goofy. So in the midst of his addiction, we really didn't know, just because he was, you know, I mean, other people knew, but we didn't see it. We just thought he was being our funny dad. So mom had Luke in September of 98. So I guess it was 98. And that's when things got really bad. We ended up losing our house that year. And this is one of my biggest memories. It was a house that my grandfather built out on Quail Run.
Yeah.
Very special house, but we all came into the world. That's where we lived. And, things started getting a little different. Dad was kind of, he was gone a little bit more. But that Christmas, and I didn't know this at the time, but I knew things were hard, but that was probably one of our best Christmases. And that's because of people from East Boonville and mom's work. They really helped to make that Christmas special. But I just remember it because that was our last Christmas in that house. We lost our house. And again, I'm 8, 9 years old, no clue why. And we moved into a very small rent house. That was my grandmother's, very small. And there's 6 of us in this house. And my dad was not a small man. You know, so, I mean, we were crowded. Again, I didn't really know what was going on. Obviously, I started seeing some changes, and then he ended up going to Mount Grace. That picture you shared today with where he has the mustache and Luke's a baby, that is the day that he went to Mount Grace. Papaw Jr. came over.
Mount Grace was in Dobson, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Brother Mike Barton from the Home of Grace opened that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had three guys from East Boonville Baptist Church mm-hmm. go there. The first one was Mark Pritchard.
Yep.
And then Randy went. And then David Sanders went. Yeah. So,
and that was a rehab in Louisiana.
Dobson, Louisiana.
One of the Home of Grace guys opened.
Yeah. Oh, Brother cool. Mike opened it. So it was run like that. But so that was what year?
98, 99-ish.
Okay. All right. I'd got saved in 98.
Yeah.
And then Randy started coming to church mm-hmm. with us. And then Brother Jim helped mm-hmm. him get there.
Yeah.
Cool.
And my mom at the time, y'all, I know we talk about her all the time, but I mean, she did such a good job, because we didn't know what was going on, because we still felt love. We still had everything we needed. We were in a smaller home, but we had a home, thank goodness. But she kept going. I mean, she worked 2 and 3 jobs at that time while he was gone. I don't know how she did. I have 3 kids, and I just truly don't know how she did it with the 4 of us. We had grandparents that stepped in and helped. Papaw Jr. came by every morning and brought us a biscuit or lunch money or something.
Oh, yeah.
But that's when I started seeing things shift. So Dad came back home. We moved to Corinth, across the street from y'all. We had rented a house.
Oh, yeah, sure did. North of town here. Only right off of 2, or 22 now.
Yes, and things started getting a little bit, you know, things started getting better. He got a job. He worked night shifts. Sometimes Mom was working night shifts also. So there were a lot of times that Dad was having to get us up and get us to school. I don't know how he did that either. But things were good. We built our house beside y'all. We've just lived by y'all forever. And 2 is when we moved in. I think y'all moved in 2001.
Christmas of 01.
Yeah. So we Daddy, moved in.
Our dad had died in 01.
Yes.
And then, so we bought that house, moved in Christmas, December of 2001.
Yeah. And so...
Randy bought the lot next to us and built a house right next to us.
Yes.
By the way, Taylor, if it was up to me, we'd all live on a compound now.
I know. I said if we ever, you know, that ever got to be an opportunity, we'd do it.
If I could talk my kids into it, we'd all be...
Yeah.
We'd all be right in the same thingy-jigger.
So...
Yeah. But so things were good. He ended up going to the car lot and...
He was a big salesman. Actually, in 2001... I was at that September 11th. I went to Brosie Car Lot to watch the tragic that was happening to the buildings in New York with Randy.
Yeah, and so things started getting a little bit better. Again, there was four of us. So then we go into 2003. Things start shifting again. And again, I'm 13 at the time, but I still don't really know what's going on. I see, you know, some stuff happening and. That's when he ends up getting arrested that year, and it made it to the local news. And so that's kind of how we found out, I guess you could say. So that was hard.
Taylor, Tyler's at a friend's house or something.
I'm pretty sure some of them were at, I think they were at Pizza Hut with the ball team.
Okay.
Mom, Lakin, and Tyler, maybe. I could be wrong. But you know, back then... I'm oblivious to the reality that other people go through things like this. So I'm just embarrassed. I think, oh my goodness, I'm the only person that's ever gone through this. I'm 13. So, you know, I'm also in that phase of life where things are, you know, my emotions are high. And so I just remember being really upset and embarrassed. And we actually went to school the next morning and Lakin and I, there were two girls that ran up to us that, you know, we're trying to keep it quiet because at that time I didn't talk about, you know, I have students now that they're not embarrassed. They're not ashamed because they know it's part of their story and they shared in FCA and they come to the radio show or Living Free. But I wasn't in that place. I'm 35. I'm just now in that place. And it took me a while. But Lakin and I just remember that really affecting us because we're like, you know, why would you ever come up to us in the hall? And they were like, I saw your dad on the news last night. My response was, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just part of our story. And so, you know, things were hard. We ended up losing our house again in 11. Mom and Dad moved back to Boonville. Lakin had Cade. I moved to Starkville, Mississippi State, Hill State. And that's when things really started shifting and it became more evident. You know, I started seeing the signs and the things.
Can I back up?
Yeah.
In 03, 04, when he got in trouble the first time right there, got arrested. I was working Subway. I actually called Dan. Mm-hmm. Dan gave me Jim Farrakis' phone number, carried me up there. So me and David Dodd started going up there looking for help for Randy. I wanted to get Randy help. The first thing I ever wanted to do was my brother to get the same thing I had in 98. And, you know, more it grew in 99, 2000, 2001. I wanted my brother to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for help for Randy. And we going to Savannah, Tennessee to the Teen Challenge program, who didn't have a residential program yet. They was just doing non-residential with the Living Free material. And one night, every night we left there, me and David died, man, we need this in Corinth. We need this in Corinth. And D. Dodd said, one night we finally left, he said, well, listen, Bubba, are we just going to talk about this or are we going to do something? That's how Living Free Ministries got started in Corinth, because of Randy's trouble. I was looking for help for him. And that led me to Savannah, and that really gave birth to Living Free in Corinth.
This is going to come full circle because Taylor's life has also been influenced in the same way. But, like, it's not lost on me that where the Lord landed me eventually was to care for people who were broke down, homeless people. I spent, you know, hour yesterday with three homeless guys, and because my brother... I have a brother who became homeless when he was 18. He now is in his 50s. He's never, ever not been homeless. And I have always wanted to figure out how to help him get off the street. Yep. And sometimes when I'm looking at another guy, I feel like, I mean, I don't make the direct connection as much as I did early on, but I feel like I'm helping my brother get off the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it is interesting how the things that we're burdened by mm-hmm. become a focus point, if you will, of our own ministry. In other words, I'm weighted down by this, and so yeah. I want to help other people. Yes. You know what I mean? In this particular way that I'm weighted down. And so I have a real heart for abuse victims because my sister was an abuse victim mm-hmm. and sexual abuse victims. And so it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, my attention gets pointed towards it because it's a burden of mm-hmm. mine. Mm-hmm. And it's a burden of mine because of mm-hmm. my family suffered it, you know? It's and personal. So back mm-hmm. around to you, I mean, you know, this is something that you've suffered. Mm-hmm. Finally, for the first time, wide open, when you were 13 years old girl, oldest, you know, sister mm-hmm. of all these, you know, three siblings, and having to carry the shame of that and trying to push it off but then beginning to suffer it, you yeah. know. And
well, we need to take a break. We'll catch up. Your mama had text and said that all four was at home the first
time. Okay, the first time.
And she told y'all.
Moms will always square you away on the details.
Yes,
he was in Texas, and this is her statement. It changed Tyler that day.
That day.
So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Taylor Wilson Johnson and let her pick up right where we was at.
Magnolia Funeral Home, your locally owned and operated funeral home in Corinth, Mississippi, with locations on both Highway 45 and 72. With the only on-site crematory in the area, you have peace and assurance with your loved ones as they never leave the care of Magnolia Funeral Home. We also know it can be heartbreaking to miss a service, but it's not always feasible to attend. With our state-of-the-art secure software, all services are digitally streamed and available worldwide free of charge. All funeral homes are not the same. Magnolia Funeral Home strives to set ourselves apart to be the most caring and go beyond what is expected.
Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, are proud to be a part of this program. At Bain & Bowen, they know that going through a legal dispute can be a frustrating and scary process. They can help you with a wide range of legal issues, including criminal cases, divorce and family law issues, as well as personal injury cases. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, will pursue the best course of action and get you the outcome you deserve. For all your legal needs, call Bain & Bowen at 662-287-1620. That's 286-1620.
Are you a chef or a cook? Tired of the same old kitchen routine? Craving a fresh challenge? Well, the Dinner Bell is currently looking for talented, passionate cooks to join the dynamic team. The Dinner Bell offers a fun and supportive work environment, competitive pay, and the opportunity to showcase your culinary skills and what has been voted the best restaurant in Corinth. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, we want to hear from you. Apply in store today, but you must be available to work nights and weekends. The Dinner Bell, where passion for food meets a rewarding career.
All right, men, are you tired of those chain salon haircuts? Come on down to Jeff's Barbershop, where we keep it old school. With 19 years of experience, Jeff's offers classic cuts and good old conversation. At Jeff's Barbershop, you're not just a number like at one of those modern stylists. You're family here. Haircuts are $20, while beard trim and shampoos are $10 at Jeff's Barbershop. Open weekdays 8 to 5 and Saturdays till noon. Located at 1100 Highway 72 West in Corinth. Walk-ins always welcome at Jeff's Barbershop.
Hey folks, this is Tommy Wilson. Along with my family, we own Corinth Mattress Furniture Outlet right here in Corinth, Mississippi. Guys, summer's come, summer's gone. Labor Day sales is almost over. We will leave the tent and the trailer up to September the 15th, so don't miss your last days to get a good king for $399, a great full for $249, twins always start at $99. And listen, folks, remember, you got to come 3 miles west of high prices to get them deals.
Now back to Hope with Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Kirby Nixon.
Well, we're back in a great conversation with my niece, Taylor Wilson Johnson. You just shared at the age of 13, your dad's on local news, on the front page of the papers, everything about it. Y'all, your 13 leaking is 11 or
10.
10.
Or 11. She may have been 11.
So Tyler is probably 7 or 8.
He's just a year and a half younger than Lakin, really.
Okay,
so.
And then Luke brings up the caboose there. Yeah. So, but y'all all at the age of you hanging out at school with your friends. This happened just to be, you know, in the middle of school year.
Yep.
And I was thinking, man, you know, if it had been summertime, it may not have been the impact at school. But, you know, kids, I mean, they know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. But so, tell us, Tyler, what cares from there?
So, yeah, so it happens. That's the first time he ends up going to prison, and that was hard. Because, you know, I talk about my dad a lot, but he struggled with addiction and had a lot of things going on, but he was still a dad. You know, I know that's not the case in a lot of homes, and a lot of people don't have Marta Wilsons as their mom to carry him through, but he was still our dad. And if you know me, I mean, he was our best friend. He's my number one.
He wasn't going nowhere.
Yeah.
He's going to be at home.
Yeah. Man. I mean, we joked all the time that I was, you know, his ride or die, because I posted it the other day. There were a lot of times I chose his side when I definitely shouldn't have. So, I mean, I loved my dad. We all did. He was the fun parent, you know? And so, that was really hard. And I got angry. You know, I know there was a lot of things I could have turned to, especially being a freshman in high school, but I got really angry. And the only person that was there to take it out on was my mom. Mm. And that's one of my biggest regrets, is how I treated her through all of this. But
yeah, because she was suffering too.
Yeah, she was. And still trying to take care of four kids.
Exactly.
She didn't have time to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you took it as you're being mean to daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
almost like it was her fault, when obviously it wasn't, you know? I mean,
so
it was not.
So he stayed gone about 2 years?
Almost 2 years right at, because I think it was the end of my sophomore year when he came home. But I was angry for quite some time. I'm just a smart aleck, smarting off all the time, just constantly stirring up something with her. And again, like she said, I mean, that affected all four of us in different ways. So we're all hurting, but, you know, I'm just, I guess you could say, stirring it up in the midst of it, because I didn't know what else to do.
Well, I mean, there's a nice old line in counseling. It says, it's really better to hurt together rather than hurt each other.
One another.
And what happens is, because we're hurting, we hurt each other. We take it out on each other instead of realizing that we actually have a common pain here that we could really suffer together and do well and comfort each other, encourage each other.
And, you know, back then, in the early 2000s, there was still this huge stigma on counseling and talk. We didn't talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't.
Like you said, I'm 35
I'm
and
just
now doing it.
Yeah. And so that probably could have made a big difference, but we were all just trying to figure it out what to do next. And so he came home, and I'll tell you, when he came home and everything almost, I guess you could say, kind of went back to normal as far as a family. We had a great 7-8 years there. That was my senior year in high school. I was very blessed. I had a good senior year. But I will say about the selling cars, you know, he struggled with addiction. Sales became his addiction at that time. There were a lot of things he missed out on because he had to sell that car. And, you know, people show up at closing time. Well, if they showed up, he was selling that car. But he was great at his job. We had it good. But that's kind of when, and Tyler obviously will tell his part of the story, Lakin too, but that's when things kind of started shifting with Tyler and his decision-making and his life. And
what did you see at this time?
Probably
14, 13, 14. 14. Yeah.
He has been put into detention center, for the kids. And then, you know, charged as an adult.
Yeah, at 17.
Pretty soon on some things. He ended up going to Walnut Grove there, state prison system. And just in and out for a long time. But the impact that it had on Tyler.
Mm-hmm. He had the other day when he spoke at Holly, and when he shared his testimony that night, he said something I've never heard him say, but I've actually just within the week been able to share that with one of my students. He just wanted to be the bad guy. Tyler thrived on Ben.
He became pretty good at it.
Yeah, yeah. He thrived and because he just thought, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I, you know, I talked with a student the other day. I was like, it's okay to not be the bad guy, you know. And I said, I asked him to go listen to Tyler's story, but he gets better every time he tells it. But, you know, things are hard because now that I see, you know, we're involved in Living Free, and I help with some of my students, and I'm on the Prentice County Drug Free Coalition, and that has become my mission because there are kids that are much younger than me that battle this, and I don't, it's not their fault.
They're suffering just the same way you suffered.
Yes.
Some of them, the little 7-year-olds, are clueless, but it's happening.
It's happening.
And you know it.
It's, yes. And that's one thing I struggled with, and I'm not saying I blamed myself, but, you know, sometimes I can remember, and I hope Luke may get mad at me for saying this, but when it happened again when I was in college, he got arrested. It was on the news. I'm in college at this point, and now I'm just, like, broke. And I'm just like, how can this keep happening, you know? But Dad struggled. Like Tommy said, there was a lot that he went through growing up, and I think it was sometimes it was easier to use that as, you know, part of the reason why. But one thing he said, I said, how do you not just break down? Because I just get upset. And, you know, sometimes it was almost like we felt like he was choosing that over us. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't. He loved his family. Yeah. I mean, my dad loved, if there's one thing, anybody that knew my dad knew he loved his family and his grandkids.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he never willingly just chose that over us, you know.
In the moment, he did.
Right.
But that wasn't who he was.
That was not who he was.
Exactly.
And that's what I want people to know.
But that's the problem. Addiction makes you someone you're not.
You don't even recognize.
Exactly. Yeah.
So he goes to prison, stays a couple of years this time.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I went to court with him the first time, and I seen him get sentenced. And that was really, really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, and actually, you know, when my dad was in prison early, he said, you know, in the late 90s or year 2000, he said, he'd write us letters, he'd call me, and he'd say, make sure Randy ain't messing up. He don't need to come here.
Yeah.
Well, after my dad died, Randy did go twice. But the first time he went, man, to sit in the court, I was in the courtroom Tuesday with four guys. I've seen a lot of guys get sentenced. I've seen guys get their time revoked. But when it's your brother, it's hard. It's tough. Hard. So I was there. I walked through all that with him. But, you know, he came home, went back to car sales.
Yep.
How many years that time?
Two years.
And I'll tell you, there was one point he was, you know, in Tippah County, and would get
Tishomingo. He was in Tippah County
one
time.
There was one he would get weekend visits.
But he ended up in Tishomingo County working for the city of Tishomingo.
Yes, that's right.
And he'd call me. I'd stop by there and see him. He had some local restaurants there. Some people just really took care of him.
Oh, yeah. Loved him.
But they actually, the town gave him a job when he got out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a very high-paying job, and I really asked him to stay there. But he wanted to come back to car business. Mm-hmm.
But circling back around to you, Taylor, because really we're trying to, like, help other people who are going through this to know what it feels like to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that second time you saw him on the TV show, you're just heartbroken, and you just, again, crying, and again, like, when are you ever going to get over this? And that feeling of despair, and, you know, I know my daddy loves me, but, man, this thing is too big for him. And it feels some days like that he's prioritizing it over us, and you had to feel that rejection and that pain. And I'm only highlighting the fact that you said that because that is how people that suffer, that live in families with addicts feel, you know. They feel alone. They feel betrayed. Mm-hmm. They feel like, you know, like, why don't you love me more than this? And, you know, those are very common feelings. Yeah. And so thank you for saying those.
Yeah, I feel like it's so easy to say, like, you chose that over me, or why do you, you know, but, I mean, and even, you know, last year, I mean, I have three kids, like I said. And again, my kids love my dad. My mom, when they would babysit, they should have been in the bed, and she'd send me pictures of them all dressed up on top of him. And, you know, I mean, it's just, that's one thing that, like, I just, I knew the potential he had to be a great grandfather because what you called him, the old grandpa or something. I remember him saying in his, when he graduated, but you know, thank God Cade got those memories with him because my kids, I want them to remember the few memories they do have with him because, like you said, he was so much more than
but
someone
on the
that
other
struggled.
Hand, there's this feeling of why did you take my kid's grandpa away from them? You know
what
I mean?
Hard
there's
too.
Right? I mean, all these things
Tommy
are real. They're real
work.
Feelings, you know?
Yeah, when Marley was a little girl. And, you know, I had amazing grandparents. Tommy knew my mom and Papa C. He was my great grandfather, but y'all, he would move the world for us. And, I mean, he was wonderful. And then Junior, I mean, like I said, he stayed with us some. He made sure we had grapes every Friday. He brought us lunch money, bitch, whatever.
That's my dad, yeah.
I mean, and
that
I knew.
That was his mission every day is to go by and make sure them kids had breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, and he did that. He took, you know, and I just knew that. I mean, my dad was a wonderful grandfather in the moments they had with him, but it is hard to not question and to not get angry. I struggle. One of the things I've written this week, I struggle, you know, when I feel joy, I sometimes feel guilty because I feel joyous and I've lost my dad just 4 months ago. Yeah. And, but no, you know, all in all, it affected all of us so differently with me. It's created, I have a lot of empathy.
Let me say this, Taylor, is that, you know, the Lord says in your anger, don't sin. And here's what that means. The most angry person in the Bible, by the way, is God, not people.
Right.
And so anger comes from, this isn't fair. It's not right. I mean, you know, kids are supposed to have their grandpa. I'm supposed to have my daddy, you know? And so that initial feeling that comes up is anger. And so anger is not bad in and of itself. It's bad if we respond to it in an ungodly way,
right?
And so anger is a normal feeling. If something unfair and bad happens and you don't feel angry, something's actually wrong with your heart. You know, you ought to feel angry when something bad happens, especially when it's not fair and it's not the way it ought to be. And, you know, it's the function of the fall and sin and, you know, horribleness and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we should all be angry today, you know, not only of 9/11, but of last night, you know, or yesterday. You know, I mean, we should be angry. In our anger, though, don't sin.
Right.
And that's what Jesus points us back to, is our own heart. And how are you going to respond to this? There's anger there, but are you going to trust me and go share the good news about my son? Or are you going to let that become bitterness and resentment? You know what I mean? And so that's what we have to prevent ourselves from doing.
Yeah. And Tommy shared last Sunday, I went back and watched his sermon twice. When you spoke at the Highlands, and he talked about Mark 5, about telling your story. And, you know, I told you I'm 35 and it's taken me this long. And that's one thing my siblings and I, we've all grown in our relationship, you know, with Christ. But also, like we've said, there are other people that are in the midst of this kind of mess. I mean, they're hurting. Their dad may be getting in trouble. I had someone tell me yesterday, my dad struggles with addiction, and it wasn't until I saw your story that it gave me hope that there is hope. And I told her, I said, there are days I felt, especially with Tyler, I felt completely hopeless, and it just got to the point I knew I had to give it to God. I couldn't make him change. I couldn't make him make that
you
decision.
You ain't the only one.
You know?
I think
we've all been there with him. It's almost
oh my goodness.
Throw, you know?
I don't know if he'd ever come back, man.
Yeah.
But look. I was texting the sheriff of Prentice County, Sheriff Randy Toler, last night, yesterday, and Tyler's speaking. I just shoot him a picture of Tyler speaking, and he's like six other Prentice County guys there. And, man, he was so tickled. But he said this, boy, if people could get what Tyler has, it'd be all right.
The
sheriff says
I had one of our guys say to me this. He said, you know why I came to the Freedom Center? He said, here's why. Because I saw Kyle and Tyler changed by God. And there wasn't a single person that I ever knew that thought Kyle or Tyler could be changed by God. You know what I mean? And he was like, I just needed whatever. If God could change those guys, I mean, surely he could change me. You know what I mean? And I thought that was a powerful witness.
So, Taylor, your mom just texted and said that from becoming, you know, She's completely has made up for being an angry teenager. Tell her. Her compassion and empathy are unlimited. So, we got like 5 minutes left. And, you know, your dad come home. We seen your dad live last year really for several months in a great way.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't take nothing for that now. But what would you tell some families, maybe a mom, dad, or kids that may be listening in the car? What would you tell them that we're life's upside down for them right now?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be them moving out of their home today.
Yeah.
It may be them watching their dad on TV. It may be them watching their dad go to prison.
Yeah.
And stuff. What would you tell these folks?
I would just say you're not alone in this. Even if there's not someone you know that's going through it that you can talk to, you can turn to God, because he's, you know, you may feel angry at right now, but Romans 8:28, you know, he works all things for good. And that's kind of my whole verse has been this year, especially over the last couple of months, is it's hard right now, and you may not be able to see the light at the end of that tunnel, but if you'll just lean on God and lean on those that, you know, truly love and care for you, you're not alone in this. And one day you'll look back and say, that's why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's to place me in the school so that I, you know, or just with living free and all this stuff I get to be involved in. So I, you know, if it comes time for me to share my story, I can give them a little bit of hope.
And look, the story of Randy comes full circle. Luke is now working at Chevrolet place. And what Tyler had to go through and all the junk he went through, that is a big story of his life today and where he's at today.
Yeah, the Lord, what the devil intended for evil, God has intended for good. And the testimony of these children who've been impacted by their father is surely a witness of that.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor is not tatted from her neck to her ankles, but the one that you can see every time she moves her elbow is, I love you, Daddy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he is bearing witness. I had the great joy of being his counselor when he was at the Freedom Center, and I learned, you know, I learned what you just said, that he loved you guys like nobody's business. He loved his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like he used to say, you know, go ahead and let somebody try to mess with her. You know, I mean, like when he first came to me, he said, we were dealing with forgiveness and all the stuff he was going to have to go through. And he goes, well, I still got this one guy that I am going to kill when I get out of here. And I was like, what do you mean you am going to kill? No, I'm going to kill him. You know what I mean? And I was like, wait. You know, you know, and like by the end of the deal, like he's really like, you know, dealing with it. But anyways, wonderful guy. Right. And God has used not only what happened to him, but God has used, just think of the fruit of what God has done in your family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, rescuing your son, who, by the way, was way farther gone than you ever saw your dad gone.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
He was on a different.
And look what God did. And look what God's done to you. And
so tonight at Living Free Ministries at 6 o'clock, Taylor, Tyler, Lakin, and we hope Luke, we'll be there sharing this journey, and we're just going to open up. If you got some questions, please text us 662-603-9829. Our friends from First Methodist will feed us tonight, so everyone's welcome. Taylor, we always close by reading the book of Jude. Will you close by reading them too? 24 and 25.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Amen.